thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me. Can you tell us about the gender pay gap in Northwest Indiana?
I sure can. In fact, my mother resides in Northwest Indiana, so it's an area that I'm very, very familiar with. So basically, based on the new census data that was released last week, AUW took a gender slice to that data to really look at the nation, each state, and every congressional district. And as we look at Northwest Indiana, we find that women are earning roughly between 66% and 74% of what males are earning in full-time employment at the state as well. So this is alarming because it's actually below the national average. The national average shows that the gap is 80 cents on the dollar overall for women working full-time compared to their male counterparts working full-time in the United States.
And so it compares, it's a bad comparison because Northwest Indiana is a worst offender for unequal pay.
Yeah, it is. You're below the national average of the 80 cents on the dollar, which is concerning. And now there's some things that can be done. Indiana overall has what we consider weak state equal pay laws. Many, many states, in fact, there are 42 states this year, many times working in bipartisan efforts to put forward stronger equal pay laws because this really becomes about economic security for families. This is not just about a women's rights issue. This is a human rights and family rights issue to ensure all have a wage matched to their skills and abilities.
So what's being done in Indiana to address this pay gap? Is there legislation being crafted to protect families, to wipe this problem out?
So not enough in our view. And in fact, our members and advocates on the ground in Indiana, I know, have been advocating and lobbying their elected leaders for more. So as an example, you know, an example of strong equal pay laws would be like those in states like California and Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Oregon, and Washington, and others. In the state of Indiana, there are some really easy ones that could be passed that could truly help to ensure that the Equal Pay Act, which is now 55 years old and in need of updating, had some safety nets for all full-time working employees, and whether they're hourly or salaried in the state of Indiana. So one example would be a bill to prohibit using salary history in hiring. And why is that important? Because women are traditionally paid less than their male counterparts. And if you're applying for a new job and you're using former salaries as the guide to your future salary, that may have nothing to do with what the market will bear for the job that you're applying for. And so you can have bias against you just because you were paid less in your former job, even though the going rate may be higher in the job you're applying for. So by prohibiting using salary history and hiring, that can really help to level the playing field or at least start to close that pay gap.
Because what prospective new employers use your previous salary to bump you just barely higher? Is that what it is?
You got it. Or go to the lower end because you were making less. So say you're applying for a job that has a range of 60 to 70, but in your last job you were being paid 47. They might think they could get some savings out of you and offer you less than their low end. And that's how it just compounds and perpetuates the pay gap over time. And we're seeing in states that have passed more pay equity laws, actually that gap is starting to close. I will say pay equity laws in and of themselves are not enough to do everything because, you know, we've passed many laws in this country and we still have other issues around culture and societal needs to continuously improve. So we try to take a multi-pronged approach. We look at this of advocating for local, state, and federal equal pay laws and strengthening those laws, as we've been talking about. We want to work with employers in the nonprofit, educational sectors, and every industry, private and public in the nation, to help employers to improve their practices and their workplace cultures, working with them on ongoing training on things like pay audits to make sure that unconscious bias is not adding to the pay gap within their companies or organizations. And then last, we're aiming to train 10 million women in 5 years how to negotiate their own salaries and secure their own financial futures, because we believe that's the other part of a multi-pronged approach here, is to ensure women have the skills and tactics needed to negotiate on behalf of themselves.
Since this issue is pretty well known now, how come it hasn't been solved already, and what's standing in the way of it? The solution, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty sad state of affairs that I have to say that women on average, it's basically flat to last year, and we haven't made these vast improvements. Look, a lot of times women are concerned about advocating on behalf of themselves. They fear retribution or worse, or getting fired. I think that, you know, there are some implicit biases that all of us as human beings have, and sadly, even people who take an implicit bias test, we have 170,000 AEW members and advocates who are firmly behind our mission to advance gender equity, and yet some of us have implicit biases as to thinking what is a man's job versus a woman's job and what it's worth. And so we all have to be exceedingly mindful to get this fixed. Sadly, the improvements on the pay gap have only moved up by 5 cents, just a nickel, in the last two decades, and that's just not enough. So that's why we're doubling down at AUW and making a concerted effort over the next 5 years, and then we're hoping that we can close the pay gap by 2030 in our lifetime.
How can people help in your mission to close that gap?
So one is we'll be offering online, absolutely free salary negotiation course that you can take at AEUW.org at the end of this month. We also offer in-person workshops around the nation, and we're working in partnerships with mayors and governors in red, blue, and purple states because this is about an economic security issue. Secondly, I think, you know, people, your listeners, can certainly think about and look at their own employee handbooks. What are their employers doing to ensure that women's voices are heard in this and are protected as they think about pay gaps? And if you're a hiring manager and you're looking at this, what are some things that you can do to improve workplace cultures and allow women to thrive in the same way that men have thrived? And then last is talking to your elected leaders, talking to your members of U.S. Congress and saying we need to pass the Paycheck Fairness Act, asking them to co-sponsor this act so that it can improve upon the Equal Pay Act. Talk to your state legislature about some of these additional bills that could be introduced, such as prohibiting using salary history or prohibiting job tracking based on sex or passing a bill on including protected classes in addition to sex in bills so that people in the workplace can be protected.
I'm thinking about organizations, companies, you know, not wanting to pay more. What are we going to do about them? Because I'm sure that there's some parties that don't want to see this addressed because they don't want to part with more profits.
So here's the amazing thing. I think we both would agree that hiring and firing and attrition is very, very expensive. And the sad thing is that women just check out when they feel undervalued, their productivity, or they simply leave the company. And hiring, firing, and attrition rates are exceedingly expensive for any enterprise, whether it's a for-profit or nonprofit or educational institution, for lack of time, resources, et cetera. Actually, study after study has shown that when women are paid what their male counterparts are paid on the same skills and abilities, the ROI increases on every business line. The same is true for the leadership gap. And I would say that the pay gap and the leadership gap and seeing more women in seats throughout an organization's hierarchy actually leads to stronger return on investment, a better bottom line for every business line.
And what can we do as just people out here in the workforce to try to help solve the problem of the pay gap?
One, be aware of your own implicit bias, and there is a link on Harvard University's website for the implicit bias test. All of us, it's not to say that all biases, you know, some of them are protectionism that we use as human beings, but understanding and checking your own implicit bias at the door so that you are hiring and promoting and being colleagues with all humans in your workforce and not perpetuating old stereotypes. So that's one. Two, consider taking our salary negotiation course. It's completely free, and we want to empower women with more resources, whether you're an hourly wage earner or a salaried employee, to ensure that you're being paid what your skills and abilities are worth. And we've seen it's evidence-based, and we've seen women earning 15, 20, 25% more in their salaries once they've taken the course and renegotiated their salaries.
And where can you find that course?
You bet. You can find that course on our website at salary.aauw.org.
And that's going to be available at the end of the month?
It'll be an online module at the end of the month, totally free, and then will be released in Spanish as well in the following months. But right now, we're offering in-person workshops totally free as well all over the country, and there'll be a list of those on our website available too.
What about women who, and anybody for that matter, they're getting a new job and they don't want to price themselves out of a job, so they're afraid to ask for what they deserve?
Yeah, that's exactly what we teach them in the course. So it's not just a matter of the confidence building skills of how to negotiate. Very importantly, what we're teaching you is about your marketplace, where you are in the geography, where you are on that job title, how it compares and contrasts with other jobs with those skills and abilities, so that you can have a range that you believe is your sweet spot, and you can negotiate much more carefully on that. So we're giving you the quants as well as the qualitative work in the workshop.
Is there anything else that you want to add that maybe I haven't asked you about?
No, I would say honestly that time's up on the pay gap, and this is about math. It's not about myth. And what we have to understand is that this pay gap is systemic in every geography, in every zip code, in every industry, at every range of our socioeconomic status. But we can do something about it with this multi-pronged approach.
Well, thank you so much. We've been talking with Kimberly Churches, the CEO of the American Association of University Women.
Thank you.